The dungeons were where you went to be forgotten. And as Varadis lay curled in the darkness, her body broken and her spirit hollowed out, she had accepted that no one would ever come for her. The cold stone beneath her cheek had become familiar. The chains around her wrists had stopped hurting weeks ago. But the emptiness inside her chest, the void where her wolf had once lived, that pain never faded. They had taken everything from her. Her wolf. Her voice. Her name. She was nothing now. Just a body waiting to stop breathing. Then the Alpha King came. Corvin of Valdrin had arrived to negotiate a treaty, not to descend into the bowels of a rival pack's fortress, but something had pulled him down those stairs. Something in his blood had screamed that he needed to find what was hidden in the dark. When he saw her, broken and barely breathing, he should have walked away. She was wolfless, worthless. A creature even her own pack had discarded, but his wolf recognized her instantly. "Mate," it howled. And Corvin, the coldest king the Northern Territories had ever known, the man who had sworn never to take a mate, who had watched his own father die from the curse that plagued their bloodline, made a choice that would change everything. He claimed her. He would protect her. He would give her his name, his crown, his kingdom. He would restore what had been stolen from her. But he made one condition absolutely clear. He would never love her. Because if he did, one of them would die. Neither of them understood how impossible that vow would become. The smell of rot and despair had seeped into the stone so deeply that even the rats had abandoned this level of the fortress. Varadis had stopped counting the days. Time meant nothing in the darkness. There was only the cold, the hunger, and the unbearable silence where her wolf's voice should have been. She remembered the moment they had ripped her wolf away. The ritual had taken three witches and a blade made of black iron. Aldric had held her down himself, his hand wrapped around her throat while she screamed. And when it was over, when the golden light of her wolf had been torn from her chest and transferred into a glass vial, he had smiled. "My daughter will carry your wolf now," he had said. "She will be the most powerful Omega in the Northern Territories, and you will rot here until your body finally gives up." That had been 43 days ago, or perhaps 44. Varadis had lost track somewhere around the time her body had started shutting down. Without her wolf, she couldn't heal. Without her wolf, she couldn't regulate her temperature or fight off infection. The wound on her chest where they had cut into her had festered. Fever burned through her in waves. She was dying. And the worst part was, no one cared. Her own pack had watched her be dragged to the dungeons. Her own mother had turned away. Aldric had made sure everyone knew what she was now. A hollow. A shell. A thing without a soul. He had told them she deserved it. That she had murdered Orin in cold blood, and that the theft of her wolf was justice. Orin. The name still made her heart ache. He had been kind to her once, one of the few who hadn't treated her like a burden. And now he was dead, burned in a fire she hadn't started, and everyone believed she had killed him. Wolves couldn't exist without their wolves. That was the fundamental truth of their kind. The human and the beast were one. To separate them was to create something that shouldn't exist, something that couldn't survive. Varadis closed her eyes and focused on breathing. In and out, one breath at a time. She had stopped hoping for rescue long ago. Now she only hoped that death would come quickly. Then she heard footsteps, not the shuffling gait of the guard who brought water once a day. These footsteps were deliberate. Powerful, descending the stairs with a purpose that made the air itself seem to tense. Varadis didn't bother lifting her head. Another visitor come to gawk at the hollow girl? It didn't matter. Nothing mattered. But then the footsteps stopped directly outside her cell, and she felt something she hadn't felt in 43 days. Power. It rolled through the bars like a living thing, pressing against her skin, filling the small space until she could barely breathe. This wasn't the dominance of an ordinary alpha. This was something ancient, something bred from bloodlines so pure they were more myth than reality. Against her will, Veratus opened her eyes. A man stood in the corridor, backlit by torchlight. Tall. Impossibly tall. His hair was dark as a moonless night, falling past his shoulders in waves that seemed to absorb the flickering light. His jaw was sharp, his cheekbones brutal, his mouth a hard line that looked like it had never curved into a smile. But his eyes were the pale silver of winter frost, and they were fixed on her with an intensity that made her damaged heart stutter. Who put her here? His voice was quiet, but something in its depths promised violence. Behind him, a nervous guard stammered, "Your Majesty, she is no one, a hollow. Her own alpha condemned her for murder. She is not worthy of your attention." The man, the king, Veratus realized with distant shock, did not look away from her. His nostrils flared slightly and something shifted in his expression. Something that looked like recognition. Something that looked like rage. "Open this cell," he commanded. "Your Majesty, I cannot. Alpha Aldric has forbidden..." "I am Corvin of Valdrin." The words cut through the air like a blade. "I am the Alpha King of the Northern Territories, and I do not recognize Aldric's authority over anything. Open this cell." The guard's hand shook as he fumbled with the keys. Veratus watched through fever-blurred vision as the bars swung open. She watched as the Alpha King stepped inside, his massive frame filling the tiny space. She watched as he crouched before her, bringing his face level with hers. Up close, he was even more terrifying. Cold radiated from him like he carried winter in his bones. His presence was overwhelming, suffocating, and yet his hand, when it touched her cheek, was gentle. "What did they do to you?" he murmured. Veratus tried to speak, but her voice had withered from weeks of disuse. She could only stare at him, this impossible king who had descended into the darkness to find her. His thumb traced the edge of her jaw. His silver eyes roamed her face, cataloging every bruise, every hollow, and every sign of her deterioration. And then his gaze dropped to her chest, to the bandaged wound that marked where her wolf had been torn away. His entire body went rigid. "They took your wolf," he said, and now his voice was ice and fury combined. "They severed your bond." Veratus managed a tiny nod. For a long moment, the Alpha King didn't move. He simply stared at the evidence of what had been done to her. And the temperature in the cell dropped so sharply that her breath fogged in the air. Then he looked up, and she saw something in his eyes that she didn't understand. "Mine," he breathed. Before Veratus could process the word, he had gathered her into his arms. She was too weak to resist, too confused to comprehend. He lifted her as if she weighed nothing, cradling her against his chest despite the filth and blood that covered her. "Your Majesty." The guard had gone pale. "You cannot simply take her. She belongs to Alpha Aldric. The negotiations are over." Corvin's voice echoed through the dungeon, cold and final. "Tell Aldric that I am taking what is mine. Tell him that if he wishes to challenge me for her, I will be waiting." He carried her up the stairs, through corridors that grew warmer and brighter with each step. Servants gasped and scattered. Warriors stopped and stared. But no one dared block the path of the Alpha King. When they emerged into the great hall, Aldric was already waiting. He stood near the massive fireplace, surrounded by his council, his expression a mask of barely contained fury. Beside him stood a young woman with golden hair and bright amber eyes, eyes that should have been dark brown, eyes that now held the glow of a wolf that didn't belong to her. Veratus saw her sister Mylis wearing her wolf, and something inside her shattered. "Corvin." Aldric's voice was carefully controlled. "I see you found my prisoner. I apologize that you had to witness our internal matters. If you return her to me, we can continue discussing the trade agreements." The Alpha King stopped in the center of the hall. Every eye was on him, on the dying, hollow woman in his arms. "This woman," Corvin said, his voice carrying to every corner, "is my mate." The silence that followed was absolute. Verratus felt the words hit her like a physical blow. Mate? That was impossible. She had no wolf. She couldn't be anyone's mate. The bond required two wolves to recognize each other. And she was empty. She was nothing. She was. "You're mistaken," Aldrich said through gritted teeth. "She has no wolf. She cannot bond. Whatever you think you sensed, I know what I sensed." Corvin's arms tightened around her. "And I know what you stole from her. I can see it in your daughter's eyes right now." Melis flinched, her hand flying to her chest. "That wolf belongs to this woman," Corvin continued, "which means your daughter is carrying stolen property, which means your entire pack has committed a crime against my mate." He smiled, and it was the coldest expression Verratus had ever seen. "The treaty negotiations are indeed over, Aldrich, but not in the way you hoped." He turned to face the assembled crowd, holding Verratus up for all to see. "I, Corvin of Valdrin, Alpha King of the Northern Territories, claim this woman as mine, my mate, my wife, my queen." His voice rang through the hall like a war drum. "Anyone who challenges this claim challenges me. Anyone who harms her answers to the crown." And then, before Aldrich could respond, before anyone could move or speak or breathe, the Alpha King walked out of the fortress with his dying mate in his arms. Verratus woke to softness. For a long moment she simply lay there, too afraid to move, too afraid to discover that this was another fever dream. The mattress beneath her was thick and plush, nothing like the stone floor she had grown accustomed to. The sheets were silk against her skin. The air smelled of lavender and cedar instead of rot and despair. Slowly, carefully, she opened her eyes. The room was enormous. Vaulted ceilings arched overhead, painted with scenes of wolves running beneath a silver moon. Tall windows lined one wall, their curtains drawn back to reveal a gray sky heavy with approaching snow. A fire crackled in a hearth large enough to stand in, filling the space with warmth. She was clean, she realized. Someone had bathed her, dressed her in a soft nightgown, tended to the wound on her chest. The festering infection had been treated, and while her body still felt hollow and wrong, the immediate danger had passed. But how? The last thing she remembered was the Alpha King carrying her out of Aldrich's fortress, his arms around her, his voice declaring her as his mate. That had to have been a dream, a dying woman's fantasy. Except here she was, in a room that could only belong to royalty, wearing clothes finer than anything she had owned even before her fall. The door opened. Verratus tensed, her body instinctively curling into itself despite the pain the movement caused. But it wasn't a guard or a servant who entered. It was him. The Alpha King looked different in daylight, less like a vengeful god and more like a man, though no less dangerous for it. He had changed from his traveling clothes into a simple black shirt and dark trousers, but the power radiating from him was unchanged. His silver eyes swept over her, assessing, cataloging. "You're awake," he said. Verratus nodded, still unable to find her voice. He crossed the room and sat in a chair near the fire, close enough to speak comfortably, but far enough to not crowd her. She noticed he moved carefully, deliberately, as if he understood that a trapped animal would bite if cornered. "The healers say you'll live," he said. "The infection is clearing. Your body is starting to stabilize." Verratus lifted a hand to her chest, pressing against the bandages there. The emptiness inside her yawned like a wound that would never heal. "But your wolf," Corvin's jaw tightened. "They couldn't restore that. The bond was severed completely. The wolf is no longer yours. She had known this. She had felt the absence every moment since the ritual. But hearing it confirmed, spoken aloud in this cold, clinical way, made the loss feel fresh again. Tears burned in her eyes, but she refused to let them fall. She had cried enough in that dungeon. She would not cry now. "I've sent investigators back to Aldrich's territory," Corvin continued. "They will document everything. The ritual, the transfer, the illegality of what was done. But I should be honest with you." He paused, and something flickered in his silver eyes. "Forcing the wolf to return would likely kill both you and Aldrich's daughter. The bond has already taken root in her. Severing it again would be the same thing that was done to me," Veratus finished. Her voice was hoarse, barely a whisper, but it was the first time she had spoken in weeks. Corvin tilted his head slightly, studying her. "Yes." Veratus closed her eyes. So that was it. Her wolf was gone forever. The piece of herself that had made her whole, that had given her strength and comfort and identity, now lived inside her sister's chest. She was truly hollow. "Why did you take me?" she asked. The question hung in the air between them. Corvin was quiet for a long moment. When he spoke, his voice was carefully controlled, as if he were selecting each word with precision. "Because you are my mate." "I have no wolf," Veratus said. "The bond cannot form without—" "I know what I felt." He cut her off, but not unkindly. "My wolf recognized you the moment I descended those stairs. I don't understand it either. I don't know how a bond can begin with someone who has been hollowed. But it did." He met her eyes, and she saw the conflict there. "It is?" Veratus didn't know what to say. She had dreamed of finding her mate once, long ago, before everything had fallen apart. She had imagined it would feel like coming home, like completion. This felt like standing at the edge of a cliff, watching the ground crumble beneath her feet. "I will be honest with you," Corvin said, leaning forward slightly. "I never intended to take a mate. I have avoided it my entire life. There are reasons. Complications you don't yet understand." His jaw tightened. "But fate seems to have decided otherwise." "What do you want from me?" Veratus asked. "I want to offer you a choice." He held up one hand, forestalling her response. "I can arrange safe passage for you to any territory outside the Northern Kingdoms. I can give you gold, resources, a new identity. You could disappear. Start over. Live out your life in peace, away from Aldrich, away from me, away from everything that has hurt you." The offer hung in the air, generous and unexpected. "Or?" Veratus whispered. Corvin's eyes locked onto hers. "Or you stay. You become my wife, my queen. I will protect you. I will give you access to every resource in my kingdom to find a way to restore your wolf or heal what was broken. You will want for nothing." It sounded too good to be true, which meant it probably was. "What's the price?" Veratus asked. Something like respect flickered across his features. "You're cleverer than you look. I've learned the hard way that nothing is free." "The price," Corvin said slowly, "is this. I will marry you. I will honor you publicly. I will give you my name and my protection. But I will never love you. I cannot love you. And I need you to accept that." The words should have hurt. But after everything Veratus had endured, they felt almost refreshing in their honesty. "Why?" she asked. For the first time, the Alpha King looked away. He stared into the fire, and the flames reflected in his silver eyes like tiny orange suns. "There is a curse on my bloodline," he said quietly. "Every king of Valdrin who has completed a mate bond has died within the year. My father, his father, every generation back to the beginning. The bond itself is poison to us." He looked back at her, and she saw the weight of centuries in his gaze. "If I love you, if I allow the bond to fully form, I will die. and you will be left a widow before you've even begun to heal." Varadis stared at him, a curse, a death sentence, and he had claimed her anyway. "Why not just leave me in that dungeon?" she asked. "Why risk everything for a woman you can never truly have?" Corvin's expression shifted, something vulnerable flashing beneath the ice before he locked it away. "Because my wolf wouldn't let me," he said simply. "Because when I saw you lying there, broken and abandoned, something in me roared that I had to save you, even if saving you destroys me." He stood, turning toward the door. "I told you it was a complication." At the door, he paused. "You don't have to decide now," he said, without turning around. "Take time to heal. Consider your options. But know this, Varadis." He spoke her name for the first time, and it sent an inexplicable shiver down her spine. "Whatever you decide, I will honor it. You have been stripped of your choices for too long. I will not be another person who takes them from you." Then he was gone, and Varadis was left alone with the impossible weight of everything he had offered. Safety, protection, a crown, but never love. She thought of Aldric's cruelty, of her mother's turned back, of her sister wearing her wolf like a stolen crown. She thought of the dungeon, the darkness, the slow surrender to death. And she thought of the Alpha King, cold and cursed, and somehow still gentle, offering her everything except the one thing that mattered most. Cold over cruelty, she thought. Perhaps that was the best she could hope for. 3 days had passed since Varadis woke in the palace of Valdren. 3 days of healing, of eating meals richer than anything she had tasted in years, of being tended by servants whose hands were careful and whose eyes held no contempt. 3 days of luxury so foreign that she kept expecting to wake up back in the dungeon. But every morning she opened her eyes to silk sheets and crackling fires and the knowledge that she was safe. Or as safe as anyone could be in the den of the Alpha King. Today was different. Today, there would be a formal ceremony, the signing of the marriage contract, witnessed by members of the court and, more disturbingly, representatives from Aldric's pack. Corvin had explained that tradition demanded it. A mating claim made in enemy territory had to be formalized within 7 days, or it could be legally challenged. Varadis stood before a mirror in her chambers, staring at a woman she barely recognized. The servants had dressed her in a gown of deep midnight blue, the color of the Valdren royal house. Silver embroidery traced patterns of wolves and moons along the bodice, and her dark hair had been swept up and secured with pins that glittered like stars. She looked like a queen. She felt like a fraud. "You look beautiful," a soft voice said from the doorway. Varadis turned to find an elderly woman watching her with knowing eyes. She was small and weathered, with silver hair braided down her back and hands that bore the calluses of someone who had worked their entire life. "I am Nathara," the woman said, stepping inside and closing the door behind her. "The king's household manager. I've served 3 generations of Valdren kings." She moved closer, studying Varadis with an intensity that made her want to fidget. "You're not what I expected." "What did you expect?" Varadis asked. "Someone harder." Nathara circled her slowly, adjusting a fold of fabric here, smoothing a strand of hair there. "Someone who had survived what you have would usually have walls higher than the castles. But you..." She paused in front of Varadis, meeting her eyes. "You still have softness in you. Guard that carefully, child. Not everyone in this court will appreciate it." Before Varadis could respond, the door opened again, and a guard announced that the king was ready for her. The walk to the great hall felt endless. Servants lined the corridors, bowing as she passed. Nobles gathered in clusters, their whispers following her like shadows. She heard fragments of their conversations. Hollow. Wolfless. How can she be queen? And forced herself to keep walking. The great hall of Valdren was nothing like Aldric's fortress. Where his had been dark and oppressive, this space soared with light. Massive windows lined the walls, their glass etched with ancient symbols. Tapestries depicted the history of the kingdom, wolves and kings and battles won. And at the far end, on a raised dais, stood the Alpha King. Corvin wore black, as he always seemed to. But today, his clothing bore silver embroidery that matched her own, a subtle statement of unity. His dark hair was pulled back from his face, emphasizing the sharp angles of his features and the coldness of his eyes. Those eyes found her the moment she entered. Varadis felt the weight of his gaze like a physical touch as she walked down the center aisle. The assembled nobles parted before her, their faces a mix of curiosity, contempt, and calculation. She kept her chin high and her expression neutral, even as her heart pounded against her ribs. She would not give them the satisfaction of seeing her fear. At the base of the dais, she stopped and curtsied. "Rise," Corvin said, extending his hand. She took it, and despite everything, she still marveled at the coldness of his skin. It was like touching winter itself. He guided her up the steps to stand beside him, and together they turned to face the crowd. A man in ceremonial robes stepped forward. The kingdom's official witness, Varadis assumed. He carried a scroll that had to be the marriage contract. "We are gathered to witness the formal bonding of Corvin of Valdrin, Alpha King of the Northern Territories, and Varadis of..." The man hesitated, clearly uncertain how to identify her. "Simply Varadis," Corvin said smoothly. "She has renounced her former pack." A murmur rippled through the crowd. To renounce one's pack was a significant act, usually reserved for those who had been deeply wronged. The ceremony continued. The witness read the terms of the contract: protection, provision, heirs, all the expected components. Varadis listened carefully, but one clause in particular made her heart stutter. "The queen shall receive full authority to pursue the restoration of her stolen birthright," the witness read, "with all resources of the crown at her disposal." Varadis looked at Corvin sharply. He hadn't mentioned this. His expression remained neutral, but she caught the slightest softening around his eyes. A gift, she realized. He was giving her official backing to try to reclaim her wolf. "Is this agreeable?" the witness asked. "Yes," Varadis said, her voice stronger than she expected. "It is agreeable." Corvin's hand tightened briefly around hers, a gesture so small that no one else would have noticed. The signing itself was simple: a quill, a piece of parchment, two names written in ink that seemed to glow faintly before settling into the paper. Magic, Varadis realized. The contract was binding in more than just the legal sense. "By the authority vested in me," the witness declared, "I pronounce this bond witnessed and true. All hail the Queen of Valdrin." "All hail the Queen," the crowd echoed, though Varadis heard reluctance in more than a few voices. It was done. She was married to the Alpha King. Before the weight of that reality could fully settle, a commotion erupted near the entrance. The crowd parted, and Varadis felt her stomach drop as she recognized the figures striding toward the dais. Aldric, her former Alpha, walked with the arrogance of someone who believed himself untouchable. His silver-streaked hair was slicked back from his cruel face, and his dark eyes gleamed with calculation. Behind him came two guards, and Melis. Her sister looked different. The stolen wolf had changed her, given her a presence she had never possessed before. Her eyes glowed with amber light, and she moved with a predator's grace that didn't belong to her. "Because it was stolen," Varadis thought bitterly, "because that grace is mine." "Alpha Aldric," Corvin said, his voice dangerously soft. "I don't recall inviting you to this ceremony." "Tradition demands that the original pack witness any bonding that results from a claim made in their territory," Aldric replied smoothly. "Surely the great Alpha King wouldn't violate tradition." The tension in the hall was suffocating. "The claim was witnessed by your own people," Corvin said. Your presence here is unnecessary. Perhaps. Aldrich smiled, and it was the smile of a predator circling wounded prey. But I wanted to personally congratulate my former ward on her unexpected fortune. His eyes slid to Varadis, and she forced herself not to flinch. Tell me, Your Majesty, did she mention why she was in that dungeon? Did she tell you what she did to Orin? The whispers started immediately. Varadis felt the blood drain from her face. Of course he would do this. Of course he wouldn't let her escape cleanly. Enlighten me, Corvin said, and there was warning in his tone. Aldrich's smile widened. Your new queen murdered her own packmate. Poor Orin, burned alive in a fire of her making. She was condemned by our council, her wolf stripped as punishment for her crime. The whispers became roars. That's not true, Varadi said, but her voice was drowned out by the chaos. I have witnesses, Aldrich continued, raising his voice to be heard. I have testimony. Your queen is a killer. Alpha King, a murderer who escaped justice only because you happened to stumble into my dungeons. Corvin's power rolled through the hall, and suddenly everyone fell silent. The dominance radiating from him was crushing, absolute, the kind of authority that demanded instant obedience. You come into my hall, he said quietly, on the day of my bonding, and you accuse my mate of murder? I simply speak the truth, Aldrich said, though even he seemed unsettled by the king's power. Then speak all of it. Corvin descended one step, then another, until he stood face to face with the older Alpha. Tell them about the trial. Tell them about the evidence. Tell them about the defense she was allowed to mount. Aldrich's jaw tightened. There was no trial, Corvin said, loud enough for the entire hall to hear. My investigators confirmed it. You accused her, condemned her, and stole her wolf without ever allowing her to speak, without ever presenting evidence to an impartial body, without ever following the laws that govern our kind. The murmurs changed in tone. Whatever crime you claim she committed, Corvin continued, you had no right to punish her without due process. You had no right to take her wolf. And you certainly have no right to come into my kingdom and question my choice of mate. Aldrich's composure cracked, just slightly. She is hollow. She is wolfless. She cannot bear you proper heirs. You are weakening your bloodline for nothing. My bloodline is none of your concern. Corvin's voice dropped to a whisper that somehow carried further than a shout. And if you speak another word against my wife, I will take it as a declaration of war. Is that what you want, Aldrich? The threat hung in the air like a blade. Aldrich took a step back. This isn't over, he said. For your sake, Corvin replied, it better be. The former Alpha retreated, his guards and Malus following. But as they passed Varadis, her sister leaned close, close enough that only she could hear. He'll find out eventually, Malus whispered. About what you really are. About what they say you did to Orin. And when he does, all this protection will mean nothing. Then she was gone, and Varadis was left standing on the dais, married to a king, surrounded by strangers with her sister's warning echoing in her ears. She felt Corvin's hand on her elbow steadying her. Breathe, he murmured, so quiet only she could hear. You did well. But Varadis couldn't focus on the praise. She could only think about Malus's words, about Aldrich's accusations, about the truth she had never been allowed to tell, because she hadn't murdered Orin. But she knew who had. And that secret, if it ever came to light, would destroy far more than just her marriage to the Alpha King. The days following the ceremony blurred together in a haze of whispers and watchful eyes. Varadis had expected hostility from the court. She had expected contempt, skepticism, and perhaps even outright cruelty. What she hadn't expected was the suffocating weight of constant observation. Every step she took was noted. Every word she spoke was analyzed. Every meal she ate, every corridor she walked, every moment she spent in the gardens, all of it was fodder for gossip. The Hollow Queen, they called her when they thought she couldn't hear. The Wolfless Bride. A shell pretending to be royalty. Varadis endured it in silence. She had survived worse. A few sharp tongues couldn't break someone who had already been shattered and pieced back together in a dungeon's darkness. But the emptiness inside her was growing harder to ignore. Without her wolf, her body struggled to maintain itself. Normal shifters healed quickly, regulated their temperature effortlessly, and drew strength from the beast that lived within them. Varadis had none of that. She tired easily. She caught chills that lingered for days, and sometimes, when she pushed herself too hard, the void in her chest seemed to pulse with a pain that brought her to her knees. It happened on the 7th day after the ceremony. She had been walking in the east wing, exploring the castle's endless corridors, when the pain struck without warning. One moment she was admiring a tapestry depicting an ancient battle. The next, she was doubled over, gasping, her hand pressed against the wall for support. The void inside her wasn't just empty anymore. It was hungry. She could feel it pulling at her, draining what little energy she had, demanding something she couldn't give. Her vision blurred, her knees buckled. And as the stone floor rushed up to meet her, she thought distantly that this was a much undignified way for a queen to die. But she never hit the ground. Arms caught her, strong arms, cold arms, and suddenly she was pressed against a chest that radiated winter. Varadis. Corvin's voice was sharp with something that sounded almost like fear. Varadis, can you hear me? She tried to respond, but her tongue felt thick and useless. All she could do was lean into him, letting his cold seep into her fevered skin. He didn't wait for an answer. He lifted her easily, cradling her against him the same way he had in Aldric's dungeon, and began walking with long, urgent strides. Someone fetch the healers, he commanded. Now! Varadis drifted in and out of awareness. She caught glimpses of concerned faces, heard fragments of hurried conversations, felt herself being laid down on something soft. Hands touched her, examining, prodding, and voices murmured words like deteriorating and unsustainable, and without her wolf, she simply cannot. Then Corvin's voice cut through the chaos, cold and commanding. Leave us. Footsteps retreated. A door closed. And suddenly there was silence. Varadis forced her eyes open. Corvin sat in a chair beside her bed, his elbows on his knees, his hands clasped together, his silver eyes fixed on her face with an intensity that made her breath catch. The healers say your body is failing, he said quietly. Without a wolf to sustain you, you're essentially fading, like a candle running out of wax. Varadis closed her eyes. She had known this, on some level. Had felt the truth of it every time she woke more tired than when she'd gone to sleep. How long? She asked. Months, perhaps a year if we're careful. His jaw tightened. But there may be another option. She looked at him. A partial bond, he said. Not a full mating bond. That would trigger the curse. But there are older rituals, blood bonds that can share strength between two wolves without completing the mate connection. He paused. If I gave you access to my wolf's energy, it might stabilize you. Keep you alive long enough to find a real solution. Varadis stared at him. You would do that? Share your wolf with me? You are my wife. The words were matter of fact, but something flickered beneath them. Your death would be inconvenient. Despite everything, Varadis felt her lips twitch toward a smile. Inconvenient? Corvin's expression didn't change, but she could have sworn she saw a hint of warmth in his eyes. Extremely. The ritual was performed that night. Nithara oversaw it, her weathered hands steady as she guided them through the ancient words. Varadis and Corvin sat facing each other, their palms pressed together, as the old woman drew symbols on their skin with ink that smelled of ash and moonlight. When the final word was spoken, Varadis felt it. Power surged through their joined hands, not her own, not quite, but something adjacent to it. She gasped as Corvin's wolf reached out to her across the bond, not claiming, not possessing, and simply offering. Energy flowed into the void inside her, not filling it, but surrounding it, holding it stable like a dam holding back a flood. The hunger receded. For the first time in weeks, Varadis took a breath that didn't hurt. "It worked," she whispered. Corvin's hands were still pressed against hers. His skin was cold, as always. But now she could feel something else beneath it. A pulse of power. A connection that hummed between them like a plucked string. "It worked," he agreed. His voice was rough. They stayed like that for a long moment, hands joined, breathing synchronized, the bond between them thrumming with shared energy. It was the most intimate Varadis had ever felt with another person, and they hadn't even moved. Finally, Corvin pulled back. "You should rest," he said, standing abruptly. "The bond will need time to stabilize. Corvin." He paused at the door, not turning. "Thank you," Varadis said softly. "You didn't have to do this. You could have let me fade, found another mate, one who wasn't broken." For a long moment, he didn't respond. Then, so quietly she almost missed it, "You're not broken, Varadis. You're surviving. There's a difference." The door closed behind him, and Varadis was left alone with the warmth of his words and the strange, tentative hope blooming in her chest. The blood bond changed everything. Not dramatically, not obviously, but in small ways that Varadis noticed more and more as the days passed. She could sense Corvin now. Not his thoughts, not his emotions exactly, but his presence. A constant awareness at the edge of her consciousness, like knowing where the sun was even with her eyes closed. And apparently, he could sense her too. He began appearing at odd moments. She would be reading in the library, and suddenly he would be there, settling into a chair across from her with a book of his own. She would be walking in the gardens, and he would fall into step beside her, offering no explanation for his presence. They didn't always talk. Sometimes they simply existed in the same space, sharing silence as easily as others shared conversation. But when they did talk, Varadis found herself surprised by the man behind the ice. "You were raised to be king from birth?" she asked one evening as they sat in the small solar adjoining her chambers. The fire crackled between them, and snow fell softly outside the windows. Corvin nodded, not looking up from the documents he was reviewing. "My father began my training before I could walk. Strategy, combat, politics, history. Everything a king needs to know." "That sounds lonely." His hand stilled on the paper. "It was necessary." "Those aren't mutually exclusive." He looked at her then, something unreadable in his silver eyes. "No," he admitted slowly. "I suppose they're not." Varadis studied him in the firelight, the tension he carried in his shoulders, the way his jaw tightened when certain memories surfaced. She wondered how long it had been since anyone had simply sat with him, not as a subject before a king, but as a companion beside a man. "Tell me about your mother," she said gently. The question seemed to catch him off guard. For a moment, she thought he wouldn't answer. Then slowly he set down his documents. "She was warm," he said, and the word sounded foreign in his mouth, like a language he had forgotten how to speak. "Even in the coldest winters, she made the castle feel like summer. She would hold me when I was small, and I remember thinking that nothing bad could ever happen as long as she was there." "What happened to her?" "My father died." His voice flattened. "The curse took him within a year of their mating bond completing. And she couldn't survive without him. She tried. For me, she tried. But a wolf who loses their true mate." He shook his head. "She faded. Just like you were fading. just like the bond demands. Varadis's heart ached. I'm sorry. Don't be. It was a long time ago. But the pain in his eyes said otherwise. The silence that followed was comfortable, familiar in a way that should have taken years to develop. Varadis found herself studying his profile. The strong jaw, the sharp cheekbones, the way his dark hair fell across his forehead when he bent over his work. He was beautiful, she realized, not in a warm, approachable way, but in the way of winter storms and frozen lakes. Dangerous beauty, the kind that could kill you if you weren't careful. You're staring, he said without looking up. Varadis felt heat rise to her cheeks. I was thinking. About? About how you're not what I expected. Now he did look up, one eyebrow raised. What did you expect? A monster. The word slipped out before she could stop it. Everyone speaks of the Alpha King with fear. They call you the Frost King, the Winter Wolf, the Heartless. Corvin's voice was flat. Yes, I know my titles. But you're not heartless. Varadis leaned forward, emboldened by the bond humming between them. You saved me. You shared your wolf with me. You defend me against a court that despises me. Those aren't the actions of a heartless man. Corvin set down his papers and looked at her fully. The firelight played across his features, softening the sharp edges, making him look almost vulnerable. I have worked very hard to become heartless, he said quietly. It's safer that way. For everyone. Because of the curse? He nodded. My father loved my mother. Truly, deeply loved her. And when the curse took him, she was left shattered. She never recovered. She died within the year, simply because she couldn't bear to live without him. His jaw tightened. I watched that happen. I was 12 years old, and I watched my mother waste away from grief. I swore I would never do that to anyone. Varadis's heart ached. So you closed yourself off. I had to. He looked at the fire, and for a moment he seemed very far away. Every time I felt something for someone, friendship, affection, anything, I forced myself to pull back, to stay cold, to stay safe. That sounds exhausting. It's survival. His eyes found hers again. But then I found you in that dungeon, and my wolf. He wouldn't let me walk away. He saw you, and he claimed you. And suddenly, all the walls I had built didn't matter anymore. The confession hung between them, heavy with implication. Corvin, Varadis whispered. I... Don't. He held up a hand, stopping her. Whatever you're about to say, don't. I can't hear it. Not yet. Not when I'm still trying to figure out how to be near you without losing everything I've built. Varadis nodded, swallowing the words that had been rising in her throat. But later that night, alone in her chambers, she pressed a hand against her heart and acknowledged the truth she couldn't speak. She was falling for him, for the cold, cursed king who had saved her from the darkness, for the man who had shared his wolf to keep her alive, for the lonely boy who had watched his parents die and decided that feeling nothing was better than feeling everything. She was falling for a man who could never love her back, and she had no idea how to stop. Winter deepened over Valdrin, burying the kingdom in snow and silence. Varadis had grown accustomed to the cold, or perhaps the blood bond had simply made her more tolerant of it. Either way, she no longer shivered when she walked the castle's drafty corridors, no longer huddled by fires like a creature seeking warmth. She had become, in some small way, a creature of winter herself. The court had begun to accept her, grudgingly. Nithara reported that the whispers were changing, less contempt, more curiosity. The hollow queen who refused to break, the wolfless wife who walked beside the Frost King as if she belonged there, and Corvin. Corvin had become her constant. He visited her chambers every evening now, no longer pretending it was coincidence. They would read together, or talk, or simply sit in comfortable silence while the fire crackled and the snow fell. Sometimes he would reach for her hand, his cold fingers intertwining with hers, and they would stay that way for hours. He never kissed her. He never pushed for more. But the bond between them pulsed with something that felt increasingly like more than just shared energy. One evening, 3 months after the blood bond, Veratus felt something strange. It started as a flicker in her chest, a warmth in the place where the void usually lived. She was sitting with Corvin in the solar, listening to him describe a border dispute with a neighboring territory, when the sensation hit. She gasped, her hand flying to her heart. Veratus? Corvin was on his feet instantly, crossing to her side. What is it? What's wrong? I don't know, she breathed. I felt something. Something. And then it happened again. This time, it wasn't just warmth. It was light. Golden. Familiar. Impossible. It flickered in her chest like a candle flame trying to catch, there and gone in an instant. Corvin's eyes went wide. Your wolf, he whispered. That was your wolf. Veratus shook her head, tears springing to her eyes. That's impossible. She was taken. She was transferred to Melis. She can't... I felt it through the bond. Corvin gripped her shoulders, his silver eyes blazing. Veratus, something just stirred inside you. Something that felt like a wolf. For a long moment, neither of them spoke. Then Veratus laughed, a broken, disbelieving sound. Maybe the healers were wrong. Maybe the bond wasn't as complete as they thought. Maybe some piece of her stayed with me, buried so deep that... We need to find out. Corvin's voice was fierce. We need to understand what this means. If there's a chance to restore you, to bring your wolf back... Corvin. She placed her hand over his. Even if some fragment remains, that doesn't mean she can be restored. The bond was severed. The transfer was complete. Whatever flickered just now might be nothing more than an echo. Then we'll find a way to make the echo louder. He pulled her into his arms suddenly, holding her against his chest. His body was cold, as always, but his embrace was fierce. I won't let you fade, Veratus. I won't let them win. She melted into him, pressing her face against his shoulder, breathing in the winter scent of him. Why do you care so much? She murmured. She felt him tense. For a long moment, he didn't answer. Then, so quietly she almost missed it. I don't know. I only know that I do. They stood like that for a long time, wrapped in each other, the fire crackling and the snow falling and the impossible hope flickering between them. 2 weeks later, Veratus discovered she was pregnant. She had suspected for days the nausea, the exhaustion, and the strange way her body seemed to be changing. But she hadn't dared to believe it until the healer confirmed it. Her weathered face creased with wonder. A child, the woman said. Despite everything, you've conceived a child. Veratus sat in stunned silence. A child. A life growing inside her. A piece of Corvin and a piece of herself, combined into something new. But she was wolfless. How could she carry a shifter child without a wolf to support the pregnancy? How could she give birth to a baby who would have a beast inside them when she had none? The blood bond, the healer said, as if reading her thoughts. The king's wolf is sustaining you both. The child will be strong. Healthy. She paused. But the pregnancy will drain you more than a normal one would. You'll need rest. Care. The king's continued support through the bond. Veratus nodded numbly. That evening, when Corvin arrived at her chambers, she didn't know how to tell him. He seemed to sense something was different. His silver eyes swept over her, cataloging every detail, and a crease formed between his brows. What is it? He asked. Veratus took a breath. I'm pregnant. The words hung in the air between them. Corvin went completely still. For a long, terrible moment, his face showed nothing at all, that perfect icy mask he wore so well. Then the mask cracked. joy. That was what she saw flooding his features. Pure, unguarded joy, the kind she had never expected to see on his face. He crossed the room in two strides and fell to his knees before her, his hands reaching for her stomach with something like reverence. "A child," he breathed. "Our child." Tears spilled down Varadis's cheeks. "You're not angry?" "Angry?" He looked up at her, genuinely confused. "Why would I be angry?" "Because this wasn't supposed to happen. Because you never wanted..." "I never wanted to love," he corrected gently. "But a child. Varadis, I've dreamed of having a family. I just never believed I could have one. Not with the curse. Not with everything." His hands trembled against her stomach, and she realized with shock that the Alpha King, the Frost King, the Heartless, was crying. Silent tears tracked down his cheeks, freezing into tiny crystals before they could fall. "We're having a child," he repeated, as if saying it enough times would make it real. "You and me. We're having a child." Varadis threaded her fingers through his dark hair, pulling him close until his head rested against her belly. "We're having a child," she confirmed. And for one perfect moment, surrounded by warmth and wonder and impossible hope, Varadis let herself believe that everything might be all right. She didn't know that across the kingdom, in a dark tower surrounded by ancient magic, a figure watched through a scrying mirror, their face twisted with fury. The Hollow Queen was supposed to die, the curse was supposed to remain unbroken, and now, everything was falling apart. The pregnancy changed everything between them. Where Corvin had once been careful to maintain distance, he now hovered. He appeared at her chambers every morning to escort her to breakfast. He insisted she rest during the afternoons, often sitting beside her while she slept, his cold hand resting protectively over her growing belly. He dismissed any council meeting that ran too long, citing his duty to his queen. The court noticed. The whispers shifted again. "He's obsessed with her," they murmured. "The Frost King, brought low by a hollow woman. Perhaps she's bewitched him. Perhaps he's simply lost his mind." Varadis ignored them. She had more important things to worry about, like the strange flickering that continued in her chest. It happened more frequently now, always when Corvin was near. The golden warmth would pulse inside her, stronger each time, as if something dormant was slowly waking. The healers couldn't explain it. Even Nathara, with all her years of knowledge, simply shook her head in wonder. "Perhaps the child is calling to her," the old woman suggested. "Perhaps your wolf never truly left. Perhaps she was simply waiting." Varadis wanted to believe that. She wanted it so desperately that it hurt, but wanting something didn't make it true. 4 months into her pregnancy, Varadis woke to find Corvin watching her sleep. It wasn't the first time. He often stayed through the night now, though he never touched her beyond the gentle press of his hand against her stomach. But something was different tonight. His silver eyes held a weight she hadn't seen before, a struggle that seemed to be tearing him apart. "Corvin." She pushed herself up against the pillows. "What's wrong?" He didn't answer immediately. Instead, he reached out and tucked a strand of hair behind her ear, his cold fingers lingering against her cheek. "I've been thinking," he said quietly, "about what happens when the child is born." Varadis's heart clenched. "What about it?" "The blood bond sustains you both. But once the child is separate from you, they'll need their own source of strength." He paused, his jaw tightening. "The safest option would be to complete the mate bond, to give you both permanent access to my wolf. But the curse? I know." His voice cracked, just slightly. "I know what it would mean." Varadis stared at him, horror dawning. "You're suggesting you die so our child can live?" "I'm suggesting I do what any father should do." He met her eyes, and she saw the resolve there, the terrible certainty. "Protect my family. Whatever the cost." "No." The word tore from her throat. No, absolutely not. I won't let you. Varadis. I said no. She grabbed his face between her hands, forcing him to look at her. Listen to me, Corvin. I have already lost everything once. My wolf, my family, my identity. I lost it all, and I survived. But I cannot survive losing you. Do you understand? I cannot. Her voice broke, and suddenly she was crying, great heaving sobs that shook her entire body. Corvin pulled her into his arms, holding her as she wept. I'm sorry, he murmured against her hair. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I just wanted you to know that I would do anything for you, for our child. Anything. I know. She pressed her face against his chest, breathing in the winter scent of him. But we'll find another way. We have to. They stayed tangled together as dawn crept through the windows, neither willing to let go. And in the quiet of that morning, with his arms around her and his heart beating steady beneath her ear, Varadis finally admitted the truth she had been fighting for months. I love you, she whispered. Corvin went rigid. I know I shouldn't, she continued, the words spilling out now that she had started. I know it's dangerous. I know it could trigger the curse from my side too, but I can't help it. I love you, Corvin. I love your coldness and your kindness and the way you pretend not to care when you care more than anyone I've ever known. I love... Stop. His voice was strangled. Varadis, please stop. But she couldn't stop. The words had been building for too long, and now they poured from her like water from a broken dam. I love that you saved me when you didn't have to. I love that you shared your wolf with me. I love that you're willing to die for our child. I love you too. The confession burst from him like a wound tearing open, and then everything went wrong. Corvin gasped, his hand flying to his chest. His face, already pale, went white as snow. His silver eyes widened with shock and pain and terrible, terrible recognition. No, he breathed. No, not yet. I didn't mean to. Ice began spreading across his chest. Varadis watched in horror as frost crystallized over his heart, creeping outward like cracks in glass. His skin turned translucent, his veins visible beneath the surface, pulsing with a cold blue light. Corvin! She grabbed him as he swayed, lowering him to the bed. No, please, no. The curse, he managed, his voice already fading. It's activated, I said. I said the words. And now? Stay with me. Tears streamed down her face. Please, stay with me. We'll find a way. We'll break the curse. Just stay with me. His hand found hers, his grip weakening by the second. I'm sorry, he whispered. I tried so hard not to love you, but you made it impossible. His eyes fluttered closed. The frost spread further, covering his chest, creeping up his neck. And Varadis screamed. Guards came running. Healers were summoned. The castle erupted into chaos. But none of it mattered. None of them could stop what was happening. Corvin lay on the bed, barely breathing, his body slowly turning to ice. The curse had sunk its claws into him, and nothing, no medicine, no magic, no prayer, seemed able to slow its progress. He has days at most, the head healer said grimly, perhaps hours. The curse is feeding on the bond, on his love for you. Varadis sat beside him, clutching his frozen hand, refusing to move. There must be something, she whispered. There must be a way to break it. The curse was cast by a powerful witch centuries ago, the healer said. We don't even know the original terms. How can we break something we don't understand? Nathara stepped forward then, her weathered face grave. I may know something, the old woman said quietly. Everyone turned to look at her. I've served 3 generations of Valdrin kings, Nathara continued. I've watched each one fall to this curse, but there were always rumors, whispers of how it began, and whispers of how it might end. "Tell me," Varadis demanded. Nithara took a breath. The curse was meant to ensure the kings of Valdrin would never be ruled by emotion, but the witch who cast it was betrayed. Her payment was never given. Before she died, she wove a failsafe into the magic, a way to break the curse, if the right person could be found. What person? What do they need to do? Light, Nithara said simply. The curse is darkness, shadow magic that feeds on love and turns it to ice. The only thing that can counter it is pure light, the kind that comes from a wolf who carries the sun inside them. Varadis's heart stuttered. A light wolf, she breathed. But those are rare, almost extinct. Nithara's eyes met hers with knowing intensity. But not entirely gone. There are still bloodlines that carry the gift, hidden bloodlines, suppressed bloodlines. The words hung in the air. Your mother, Nithara said softly, was a light wielder, Varadis. And so are you. The world tilted. What? Your wolf didn't just carry your beast. She carried your light, your inheritance from your mother's line. That's why Aldric wanted her. Not for her strength, but for her magic. Nethera's voice hardened. He transferred your wolf to his daughter because he wanted Melis to have the light. He wanted to use it for himself. Varadis couldn't breathe. All those years of being told she was worthless, being told her wolf was nothing special, being told she deserved her punishment. And all along, she had carried something precious, something Aldric had stolen not out of cruelty, but out of greed. If I had my wolf, she said slowly, if I had my light, I could save Corvin? Yes, Nithara nodded. But your wolf is inside Melis, and the transfer was complete. To reclaim her, you would need Melis to release her willingly. A forced extraction would kill you both. Then I'll make her willing. Varadis stood, her hands trembling but her resolve absolute. Varadis, you're pregnant, Nithara protested. The journey to Aldric's territory alone could... My husband is dying. She looked at Corvin's frozen form, at the man she loved turning slowly to ice. Our child will have no father if I don't do this. So I'm going to do this, and nothing, nothing will stop me. She crossed to the bed and pressed a kiss to Corvin's frozen lips. Wait for me, she whispered. I'm going to save you. I promise. Then she turned and walked out of the room. The ride to Aldric's territory took 3 days. Varadis pushed her horse hard, ignoring the exhaustion pulling at her body, ignoring the worried protests of the two guards Nithara had insisted accompany her. The blood bond with Corvin was weakening with every mile. She could feel his life force fading, feel the curse consuming him piece by piece. She had to hurry. Aldric's fortress looked exactly as she remembered, dark, imposing, filled with shadows that seemed to watch her approach. But she was not the same broken girl who had been dragged from these gates in chains. She was a queen now, and she had come to reclaim what was hers. Tell Aldric that Varadis of Valdrin demands an audience, she said to the guards at the gate. Tell him his former hollow has returned. The guards exchanged uncertain glances, but they let her pass. She found Aldric in his great hall, seated on his carved wooden throne, looking exactly as she remembered. Cruel eyes, silver-streaked hair, the smug expression of a man who believed himself untouchable. Well, well. He leaned forward, his lips curving into a smile. The Hollow Queen returns. I heard your husband is dying. What a shame. You know why I'm here, Varadis said flatly. Do I? Aldric's eyes glittered with malice. Perhaps you've come to beg forgiveness. Perhaps you've realized your place. Perhaps I've come for my wolf. The words silenced him. I know what you did, Varadis continued, her voice steady despite her pounding heart. I know why you really took her. Not as punishment, as theft. You wanted my light, my mother's gift. You transferred it to Melis so you could use her. use her power for your own ends. Aldrich's expression flickered. You don't know what you're talking about. I know everything. She stepped closer, drawing on every ounce of courage she possessed. I know you killed Orin when he discovered your plan. I know you framed me for his death to justify the transfer. I know you destroyed my life to cover your own crimes. Lies, Aldrich snarled, rising from his throne. Desperate lies from a desperate woman. Then explain this. A new voice echoed through the hall. Veratus turned to see Melis standing in the doorway, her face pale, her amber eyes, Veratus's wolf's eyes, wide with shock. I was listening, Melis said, her voice shaking. I heard everything. Father, is it true? Did you kill Orin? Did you frame Veratus? Aldrich's face contorted with rage. Melis, this doesn't concern you. It concerns me more than anyone. Melis stepped into the hall, her hands clenched at her sides. I'm carrying her wolf. I've been carrying stolen property inside my chest for years. Tears spilled down her cheeks. All this time, I thought she was a murderer. I thought she deserved what happened. But you lied to me. You used me. I did what was necessary, Aldrich snapped. Your mother was weak. Your sister was pathetic. Someone had to make our family strong. By stealing. By murdering. Mylis shook her head. No, I won't be part of this anymore. She crossed the hall and stopped before Veradis. I'm sorry, she whispered. For everything I said. Everything I believed. I was wrong. Veradis looked at her sister, this woman she had hated for so long, and saw the genuine remorse in her eyes. I need my wolf back, Veratus said quietly. My husband is dying. Only my light can save him. Will you help me? Mylis closed her eyes. When she opened them, they were filled with determination. Yes, she said. I'll give her back. The ritual to return a wolf was far more dangerous than the one that had stolen her. Nithara had sent instructions with Veratus. Ancient words, precise movements, requirements that could not be deviated from. The transfer had to be willing from both parties. It had to be performed under moonlight, and it had to be witnessed by someone with magical blood. Fortunately, Aldrich's own mother had been a witch, which meant Aldrich himself carried enough magic to serve as witness, whether he wanted to or not. You can't do this, he snarled, straining against the guards who held him. After Mylis's betrayal, his own men had turned on him, disgusted by the truth of what their alpha had done. You can't take what's rightfully mine. She was never yours, Veratus said coldly, and neither was I. The moon rose over the courtyard, silver light spilling across the stones. Veratus and Melis knelt facing each other, their hands clasped. The guards had formed a circle around them, torches flickering in the winter wind. Are you ready? Veratus asked. Mylis nodded, though fear flickered in her borrowed amber eyes. I've felt her stirring lately. Your wolf. She knows you're close. She's been trying to reach you. Veratus's heart clenched. All those flickers she had felt, the golden warmth pulsing in her chest, that had been her wolf, calling out across the distance that separated them. I'm here now, she whispered. I'm coming to bring you home. The ritual began. The words were ancient, heavy on the tongue, tasting of moonlight and magic. Veratus spoke them carefully, precisely, while Melis echoed them in counterpoint. The air between them began to shimmer. Pain bloomed in Veratus's chest, not the emptiness she had grown accustomed to, but a stretching, reaching sensation. Like something inside her was waking up, reaching out, and trying to reconnect with what had been lost. Melis gasped, her grip tightening on Veratus's hands. I can feel her, she breathed. She wants to go home. She wants... Light erupted between them. Golden, blinding, beautiful, the light of a sun wolf, the inheritance of Veratus's mother, the gift that had been stolen and hidden and suppressed for so long. Varadis felt her wolf slam back into her chest like a thunderbolt. The sensation was indescribable. One moment she was empty, hollow, half a person. The next, she was complete. Finally, blessedly complete. Her wolf unfurled inside her, stretching after years of captivity, howling with joy at finally being home. And with her wolf came the light. It surged through Varadis's veins, illuminating her from within. She could feel it burning beneath her skin, blazing in her eyes, radiating from every pore, not destructive like fire, but purifying, healing, the light of dawn breaking after an endless night. When the glow faded, Varadis knelt in the courtyard, tears streaming down her face, her wolf singing inside her for the first time in years. She was whole again. Mylis slumped forward, exhausted but unharmed. Her eyes had returned to their natural brown, and though she looked diminished somehow, she was breathing, alive, free of stolen property. "Thank you," Varadis whispered. Mylis managed a weak smile. "Go save your king." Varadis didn't need to be told twice. She ran for her horse, her wolf lending her strength she hadn't felt in years. The guards scrambled to follow, but she was already gone, racing through the fortress gates, tearing across the frozen landscape toward Valdrin, toward Corvin. The bond between them had been fading for days. She had felt him slipping further and further away. But now, with her wolf restored, she could sense him clearly again. His life force was a guttering candle, barely clinging to existence. She had hours, maybe less. "Hold on," she whispered into the wind. "I'm coming." The ride back took 2 days. Varadis pushed her horse past exhaustion, past sanity, past everything she thought possible. She stopped only to let the animal rest enough to continue, and even then, the delays made her want to scream. But finally, finally, the towers of Valdrin appeared on the horizon. She burst through the castle gates at dawn, her horse foaming, her body aching, her wolf howling with urgency. "Where is he?" she demanded of the first guard she saw. "Your Majesty, you shouldn't—" "Where is he?" "His chambers. But the healers say—" She didn't wait to hear what the healers said. She ran through corridors that blurred past her, upstairs that seemed endless, through doors that guards barely opened in time. And finally, finally, she burst into the king's chambers. Corvin lay on the bed, completely encased in ice. His skin was blue-white, translucent as glass. Frost covered every inch of him, turning him into a frozen statue of the man she loved. His chest didn't move. His eyes were closed. He looked dead, preserved forever in a prison of his own making. "No," Varadis breathed. "No, I'm not too late. I can't be too late." She crossed to the bed and pressed her hands against his frozen chest. The ice burned her palms, but she didn't care. She closed her eyes and reached for her wolf, for the light that blazed inside her, for the power that had been stolen and suppressed, and finally, finally returned. "Wake up," she commanded. "Corvin, wake up. I didn't come all this way to lose you." The light answered. It surged from her hands in waves of golden radiance, pouring into Corvin's frozen body, attacking the darkness of the curse with everything she had. She could feel the shadow magic fighting back, clinging to him, and refusing to release its prey. But Varadis was stronger. She was a light wielder, daughter of a line that had carried the sun for generations. She was a queen who had crawled out of darkness and refused to break. She was a mother protecting her child's father, a wife saving her husband, a woman who had lost everything and still found the strength to hope. She was not going to lose him. "Wake up!" she screamed, pouring more light into him, more and more until her own body began to burn with the effort. The ice cracked. A single fissure appeared across his chest, then another, then another. The frost began to melt, running off his skin like water, evaporating into steam as her light touched it. And then, impossibly, beautifully, wonderfully. Corvin's eyes opened. Silver met gold. Corvin's eyes, unfrozen, alive, filled with wonder, stared up at Varadis as the last of the ice melted away. "You're glowing," he whispered, his voice hoarse from disuse. Varadis laughed, a broken, joyful sound that was half sob. "I got my wolf back. I got my light. I saved you. You saved me." He reached up, his hand no longer cold but warm, genuinely warm as it cupped her cheek. "Varadis, you're whole." "I'm whole," she confirmed, tears spilling down her face. "And so are you. The curse. I think I broke it. I can't feel the darkness anymore." Corvin sat up slowly, testing his body, marveling at the warmth flowing through him. He pressed a hand to his chest, to the place where the curse had festered for so long. "It's gone," he breathed. "The shadow that lived inside me since I was born. It's completely gone." Varadis threw her arms around him, holding him as tight as she dared. "I was so scared," she whispered. "When I felt you fading, when I thought I might be too late." "You weren't." He held her just as tightly. "You came for me. You fought for me." He pulled back just enough to look at her face, and his expression was filled with something she had never seen there before. Warmth. Not the cold indifference he had cultivated for so long, not the careful control he had used to keep everyone at a distance. This was genuine, unguarded warmth, the kind that came from a heart finally free to feel. "I love you," he said. "I can say it now without fear. I love you, Varadis. I love your strength and your courage and the way you refused to let me die. I love that you came back from the edge of death yourself and still found the will to save me. I love." She kissed him. It was their first real kiss. Not a brush of lips against knuckles, not a gentle press of cold mouths in the darkness. This was heat and light, and the release of everything they had been holding back. When they finally broke apart, both breathless, Corvin rested his forehead against hers. "The baby," he said suddenly, his hand flying to her stomach. "Is the baby fine?" Varadis placed her hand over his. "Strong. I can feel her now. My wolf is supporting her the way yours was before." "Her?" Varadis smiled. "A daughter. I'm certain of it." Corvin's eyes glistened. "A daughter. A princess of Valdrin." "Who will never know the curse," Varadis added. "Your bloodline is free, Corvin. Our children, our grandchildren, none of them will ever suffer the way you did." He pulled her close again, holding her as if he would never let go. "How did you do it?" he asked. "How did you get your wolf back?" So Varadis told him everything. She told him about Nathara's revelation, about her mother being a light wielder, about Aldric stealing her wolf for its magic. She told him about confronting her former alpha, about Mylis's change of heart, about the ritual under the moonlight. She told him about the desperate ride back to Valdrin, about pouring her light into him until the curse shattered. By the time she finished, Corvin's expression had shifted from wonder to cold fury. "Aldric," he said, "he's responsible for all of it. The murder, the framing, the theft." "His own guards turned on him," Varadis said. "Mylis exposed everything. He's being held prisoner in his own dungeons, waiting for judgment." "Judgment will come." Corvin's voice was iron. "He will answer for what he did to you, to us, to our family." "I know." Varadis took his hand. "But right now, I don't want to think about him. I just want to be here, with you, alive and whole and together." The hardness in Corvin's face softened. "Together," he repeated. "Together." 3 months later, spring came to Valdrin. The snow melted, revealing green beneath, grass and flowers and new life pushing through the frozen ground. The kingdom celebrated their queen's miraculous recovery, their king's impossible survival, and the approaching birth of the royal heir. Aldrich's trial had been held in the Great Hall, witnessed by representatives from every pack in the Northern Territories. The evidence against him was overwhelming. Malus's testimony, the guards who had heard his confession, the ancient records that proved his mother's witch blood and his own magical capability. He was found guilty of murder, theft, conspiracy, and crimes against a royal mate. The sentence was death. Veratus didn't attend the execution. She had no desire to watch the man who had tormented her die. She only wanted to know that he could never hurt anyone again. Mylas had returned to the Crane territory to help rebuild. She and Veratus exchanged letters now, tentative, awkward, but genuine. The wounds between them were deep, but they were beginning to heal. And then, on a warm spring afternoon, with sunlight streaming through the windows and flowers blooming in the gardens below, Veratus went into labor. Shifter pregnancies were shorter than human ones, 7 months from conception to birth. So the timing was right. Corvin stayed by her side through every moment. He held her hand through the contractions, whispered encouragement when she flagged, and caught their daughter when she finally emerged. Squalling, pink, and perfect. "She's beautiful," he breathed, staring down at the tiny face. "Veratus, she's absolutely beautiful." He placed the baby in Veratus's arms, and she looked down at her daughter for the first time. The child had her father's dark hair and her mother's golden eyes, the eyes of a light wolf, unmistakable and bright. She was small and perfect and everything Veratus had ever wanted. "What should we call her?" Corvin asked, settling beside them on the bed, his arm around Veratus's shoulders. Veratus considered. So much had been taken from her, but so much had also been given. She had found love in the most unlikely place. She had found family where she expected only coldness. She had found herself, her wolf, her light. Everything she thought was lost forever. "Selene," she said finally. "It means sun. For the light that saved us both." Corvin smiled, a real smile, warm and unguarded, the kind she still marveled at seeing on his face. "Solene," he repeated. "Princess Solene of Valdrin. I love it." They sat together in the golden afternoon light, watching their daughter sleep. "I never thought I'd have this," Corvin said quietly. "A wife, a child, a family. I spent my whole life preparing to die alone, convinced that love was something I could never afford." "And now?" Veratus asked. He turned to look at her. His silver eyes filled with more emotion than she had ever seen in them. "And now I have everything," he said. "Because of you. Because you refused to let me push you away. Because you came back from the dead and dragged me back with you." "We saved each other," Veratus corrected softly. Corvin leaned in and kissed her, gently, tenderly, with all the love he had been forced to suppress for so long. "We saved each other," he agreed. Outside, the sun continued to rise over Valdrin, bathing the kingdom in golden light. And in the queen's chambers, surrounded by warmth and love and the promise of a future free from curses, a new chapter began. Thank you for listening to this story. If you enjoyed it and want to hear more, let me know in the comments what you thought. I read every single one, and they mean more than you know.